People have been curious about near-death experiences for decades. Dutch cardiologist Pim van Lommel is one of the leading researchers in the field. He's trying to figure out if near-death experiences are more than mere hallucinations. He's also studying how 4 minutes of cardiac arrest change some people's lives forever. Steve Paulson caught up with van Lommel at a forum on death and dying to ask about the research he began in 1988.
We did a prospective study in 344 consecutive patients who survived cardiac arrest in 10 Dutch hospitals. And we found that there was no physiological or psychological or demographic explanation why patients have these near-death experiences. We found an 18% of them had a near-death experience, had a memory of the period of unconsciousness.
18%.
And 82% did not have any memory. And when we compared these two groups, they were totally identical. So our conclusion in this prospective study was the explanations until now said that there was lack of oxygen in the brain or fear of death or side effects of drugs or other were not true. We had to come to the conclusion that there was no explanation at all that 18% had these experiences. And another aspect of the study was a longitudinal study. Taped interviews after 2 years and 8 years in all patients with an ED who survived this cardiac arrest and a matched control group of patients who survived cardiac arrest but had not an NDE reported. And this study was done to see if what we know about transformational aspects of a near-death experience, which is loss of the fear of death, a new insight in what is important in life, and enhanced intuitive sensibility, is the result of a cardiac arrest, which could be possible, or just the result of the NDE itself. And what we found, only the patients with an NDE had this classical transformation.
So when you say these people all had cardiac arrest, for how long? I mean, how long had their heart stopped? How long were they in that unconscious state?
Well, what we call cardiac arrest, it's clinical death. And clinical death is the period of unconsciousness caused by the lack of circulation and lack of breathing. And you will die within 5 to 10 minutes. So it must be within those several minutes you have to start CPR.
Well, one thing that you're saying that's remarkable is you're talking about people who are clinically dead for a few minutes. We're talking just a few minutes.
Yes. Yeah.
And you're saying these experiences transform their life, that they are a different person after this experience that just lasted a few minutes.
That's one of the most interesting aspects of this experience, that when you have an experience of only 1 or 2 minutes, your whole life changes.
So why? What happens in the typical near-death experience based on your studies?
Well, there are several what we call universal elements, as already Raymond Moody has described in his book Life After Life in 75, and we found the same elements. That the first of all is that there's no pain anymore. They feel happy, and then they can perceive their own lifeless body from above.
This is what people call out-of-body experiences.
Yes, it's an out-of-body experience. It's a 360 degrees perception. You can see through structures as well, and there's a possibility to corroborate these theoretical perceptions where you can prove that this really happens. One of the most interesting cases is that there was a 44-year-old man brought into hospital. He was found unconscious in a meadow, and it took about 30 minutes before he was brought into hospital. And he came in cyanotic, blue, already cold, his body, totally unconscious, without any circulation. And the first thing the nurse in charge did was to try to intubate the patients for artificial respiration. And he found that patients had still a dentures in his mouth. And he took out this upper dentures and put it somewhere on the crash cart. When they had this circulation stabilized, he was still on artificial respiration. He was still comatose. So he was transferred to the intensive care unit for artificial respiration, which he needed for 1 week more because he was 1 week in coma. Then when he regained consciousness, he was brought back, transferred back to the cardiac ward. And he was just there when the nurse came in to give medication, and he saw this nurse, and he said, oh, you are the one who took out my dentures. You know where my dentures are, because they were missing. And the nurse was totally flabbergasted, because he knew that this happened when this man was in deep coma, without any circulation, blue, no brainstem reflexes, no body reflexes, no breathing at all. He was like a corpse. And he could tell into detail where the dentures was put somewhere on a sliding drawer underneath, and he could tell exactly how this resuscitation room looked like. And this is important because you can prove that this happened during the period of unconsciousness when the brain was not functioning. Well, other aspects is that for about 15% of the people are frightened in this period. And then you see a small point of light where they are attracted to, where they describe as a spiral or a tunnel. And when they go through the tunnel, they come into another dimension with beautiful colors, beautiful landscapes, beautiful music is possible. And there is a possibility to encounter deceased relatives and friends, even sometimes unknown to them or unknown to be dead.
You're suggesting that simply recalling past experiences with relatives does not explain all of these experiences, these encounters with with relatives.
Exactly. So they can encounter. There's one intriguing case as a man, he saw his deceased grandmother and a man he didn't know, but he looked lovingly to him. 10 years later, at the deathbed of his mother, she confessed to him that he was born out of an extramarital relationship, and she showed him a picture. And the man he had seen 10 years before happened to be his biological father. Well, which is quite emotional. I always feel it when I tell it. These are things that are not to be explained by just wishful thinking.
You're saying there's no way that hallucinations can explain some of these things, that actually there is knowledge that is being gained that people hadn't learned before.
No, it's impossible.
So you have said that these are transformative experiences, life experiences, that often they were changed.
Yes, totally changed.
Why? I mean, how do you explain that?
Because they have been in contact with an other dimension in our consciousness where everything is one, and that you realize now that your attitude toward yourself and toward others is in essential way how you should live. Back in this Western society, it is not easy at all to try to live according to this new insight, because it's not accepted.
Now, have you found that many people changed what they did after one of these experiences?
I mean,
did they change their job? Did their family situation change?
Yes. More than 50% of those patients are getting a divorce because the partner says it is not the same patient that I married 20 years before. The first problem when you come back and you try to communicate about it, the experience you had, you think you're insane. I mean, you try to talk about your doctor or your partner, your family or friend says, oh, well, please keep quiet. It just go over. It's just temporary. It's just because of the drugs you had, whatever. You have been really sick. Let's go on. And there was one study done by psychologists who interviewed 84 patients who had a near-death experience in the past with an average interval of 24 years, so between 7 months and 70 years interval. About 50% of those people was not still able to communicate about their experience with others, which means that you cannot accept it or you cannot integrate it. You cannot try to live in the new way you want. It gives depression, homesickness to this beautiful experience, loneliness. So it's a trauma.
So for the people who have learned to integrate these experiences, how do their lives change? I mean, what is different then in terms of day-to-day living?
Yeah, well, they accept just the daily things in life. They're aware of how important it is to be open to other people, to be compassionate to other people, towards nature. They're just thinking about our planet. They change their jobs. They want to help people. They are just becoming volunteers in hospice or terminal care. And the materialistic aspects of life is not important anymore. There's a continuity of life. And when there is a continuity, your main interest is not in the external world, but it, what's important in your internal world, in what's in your consciousness.
You're really saying that these near-death experiences are not really about death. They are about life. They are about reorienting your philosophy of life.
Yeah. Ideas about death define how you live your life. When you know there's a continuation of consciousness, then you have to change your life as well. It's about life, yeah.
Do you think much about your own death?
No. I think about life. I think about what I want to do now. And I hope to help people to open the door. But I will never try to convince people. People who don't want to open the door, well, they kept it closed. It's all right for me.
Do you have any fear of dying yourself?
No, I don't think so. The curiosity is more than my fear.
Pim van Lommel is a cardiologist from the Netherlands. His book about near-death experience is called Consciousness Beyond Life. Steve Paulson talked with him. I'm Jim Fleming. It's to the best of our knowledge from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International.